And we're still busy unpacking what the mayor explained to us yesterday. A new structure for the city of Cape Town. She said that one of the key things is to make sure that service delivery takes place across the board to those who have and those who don't, without just benefiting one side only. And she also said that this whole idea of the city working in silos now has to come to an end. So a structure which is a lot more efficient, the mayor says. I mean, time will tell whether that structure is more efficient. But joining us this morning, we've spoken to JB Smith. We've spoken to the mini mayor. I love that term, mini mayor. I think you can make a movie out of that sort of thing. We've spoken to one of the mini mayors yesterday, Suzette Little. She was talking to us about water, etc. And today, we chat to the MACO member for Transport and Urban Development. So another portfolio added to his lap. Councillor Brett Herron will be chatting to us. There's been that huge reshuffle. But Councillor Brett Herron will speak to us specifically about the new Transport and Urban Development Authority. So, Brett, good having you on the show. Happy New Year and all those fancy things.
And to you, Kino. Thank you.
Now, what exactly is this new Transport and Urban Development Authority about? If we can start with the high level.
Well, I mean, essentially it's about restructuring our city to tackle the inefficiencies and inequalities. And what we've done is combine the functions of transport, spatial planning, and elements of our human settlements department. That element is the part that develops new housing settlements. Or new housing development. So it is a new authority that brings together the key functions that that will address the apartheid legacy that still perpetuates inequalities and inefficiencies in our city.
And, I mean, if we are to paint the picture for those going, oh, there they go on about apartheid again, people need to actually wake up, smell the coffee. It's a reality. It's experienced. The poorer people live on the outskirts. The richer people, by and large, live close to the city and where economic activity happens. And it's the poorer people who have to travel and spend a lot of money traveling using public transport systems to get to their places of work. The very people who don't have the money to travel. I think I put that quite succinctly, and I would imagine that's spot on, Brett.
Absolutely. I mean, we, in the Transport Authority last year, we did a transport development index to sort of benchmark what the real situation was for transport and transport users. And we discovered that in the lower income households, the average cost of direct cost of transport was consuming 45% of household income. Yeah. In some parts of the city, it was as high as 60% of household income. So we absolutely have to address that. And the way to address that is to make sure that we're not building low-density housing on the outskirts of the city. We need to find better-located land parcels so that poorer households have more affordable access to the economic opportunities, the amenities, and the social services that our city offers.
Now, we talk about this urban development, the Transport and Urban Development Authority, and there are hints to how it'll operate if one goes back to previous discussions that we've had. The idea has always been that the urbanization needs to be centered around transport hubs. So key transport hubs, my city hubs, train hubs, you name it, high density populations around those hubs. Is that accurate?
That's correct. So, I mean, in a sense, that age-old saying that structure follows strategy. Mm. Also, last year, we adopted what we call the transit-oriented development strategy, which is essentially that we need to locate the right land use in the right place to improve access and mobility for all our residents, but particularly those who are poor. And to do that, we need to locate developments along and around transport corridors and transport nodes. And so this structure is designed to implement that strategy.
But there's also another part of this. If one just goes back to what happened in Woodstock, for example, Brett, where poorer people who live close to the city are moved out because of gentrification. I said, I don't have a problem with gentrification, but it needs to have a bit of a heart. And then I mentioned to the mayor, both offline and online, that, you know, the London model is an important one where 20% of new developments needs to make space for social housing. Is that something that will be considered moving forward?
Yeah, that is, I mean, that is what in the world we call inclusionary housing, where developers are encouraged to, by giving them increased rights, to include affordable housing units within their development. So that is something that we're talking to the property development market about, and it is something that we're going to have to look at more seriously going forward. But I think in terms of displacement of people through gentrification, I mean, the missing factor is that the social housing development in the right location is lagging. And we need to fast-track social housing in the right place to mitigate yeah. displacement that occurs because of what private owners are doing.
The other thing that needs to, it's one thing to have, you know, your transport hub. It's one thing to have your high density living, but obviously business opportunities need to be created around those particular centres as well. So where the transport hub might exist in a poorer area, opportunities are created for the surrounding community from a small micro enterprise perspective, and then further along as well.
Yeah, so what we've been doing over the last few months is analysing the land patterns. And we know where there is a high concentration of residential but no commercial or industrial activity.
Yep.
And we know where there's a high concentration of commercial activity but very little residential. And that's part of the imbalance that we need to correct. It's good for efficiencies in the city, so we don't have this tidal wave of movement, people traveling from the outskirts to get to work in the city center because that's where the jobs are. Mm. So part of the strategy, the transit-oriented development strategy, is to correct those imbalances, to put more people where there's commercial activity, which means we need more residential, for example, in the inner city, the city center, and to put commercial and industrial activity where people are living. So yep. people need to travel shorter distances.
And there's also the discussions with the big companies like British American Tobacco, Old Mutual, you name it, where they decentralize their offices as well, and everybody doesn't come to one hub, and you know we end up having people, even with MyCity buses and other transport systems running efficiently, you're still going to stare a traffic backlog in the face on the N1, the M2, the M5, the M3, if these companies don't decentralize or don't start looking at you know, whether or not it might be best for certain components of their staff to work from home.
Yeah, I think, I mean, we won't solve the inefficiencies and along with that, the traffic congestion in our city just by implementing public transport.
Yeah.
Because what we actually also need to do is to reverse that tidal flow that I referred to,
yes.
which is everybody traveling to the same destination in the morning and then traveling out in the evening or the yep. afternoon. So it's not only about implementing public transport and different modes of transport, but it's also about working in a different way. So that's
yep.
the travel demand management side of what we were looking at is flexible working hours, shortened work weeks, work from home, and decentralization, as you're talking about.
Well, we had a comment from Terry, but Terry has since disappeared. Councillor Brett Herron, it's a newly constituted authority. Who's going to be running this particular authority?
Well, I'm the political appointed head of the authority. There is an administration, and the commissioner for the authority has been appointed through the city manager's recruitment process.
Okay.
And that person is Melissa Whitehead, who was the Transport Authority head in the previous term of office.
Well, she did a brilliant job in that office, so it'd be good to have her on board. Zane Johnson was hoping that you'd have that position available for him, but sorry, no luck.
Maybe in 5 years' time, but I don't think so.
Councillor Brett Herron, thank you very much for joining us on the show this morning. Always
thank
great
you.
Chatting.
Okay.
Have a good one, Brett. MACO member there for Transport and Urban Development. Terry, that came a bit late.